about the matzav. I remember in danger of dying daily. Tens of thousands of our people are displaced, suffering. The future's not clear. But everybody is spending some time feeling, thinking, davening, praying, been involved in this. And on the other hand, we're in the deeply already in the 9 days. Tisha B'Av's coming up. We have to somehow make this important time important to us. 3 weeks. 3 weeks in the Jewish year with special halachos, with taniyos, with fasts. And very often this time just goes by without any meaning for us, any significance, and even worse, we're kind of almost, I hate to say, waiting for it to end. Take a shave. Eat me without a siyum. The main difficulty we have, and maybe why we shy away from working on the Chorban, is it's so far from us. So far. 2,000 years ago, building. So what? And when you think about it, let's think about something more relevant to us, more close to us. European Jewry, 70 years ago. 70 years is not a long time. But who still thinks about what went on? 6 million Jews, 1.5 million children. Tens of thousands of communities. Minhagim wiped out. Hasidic Rebbes, great Talmid Chachamim. The colossal yeshivas of old, Talis, Slobodka, Panovich, Novartik, Kelm, decimated. We don't relate to it anymore. It's so far for us, we get used to things. And when you think about it, just 48 years ago, after 1967, a Jew could walk anywhere in this country, fearlessly. Ramallah, Shechem, anywhere in the old city. An Arab would dare to speak up to a Jew? Definitely not. But we got used to this. We got used to the fact that there are many, many places where we take our life into our hands. We get used to everything. Think about this. Who could imagine? Who could have imagined 5 years ago rockets in Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, Chadera, Haifa, Bnei Brak? And now we're kind of used to that also. I mean, a little not used to it. We get used to everything. We get used to everything. So how can we possibly mourn for a situation like the Beis HaMikdash, which we're so used to, which is so far from us? So I had a certain insight, breakthrough this year, which maybe will be helpful to the Chosh of Tzibur here. We may not care so much about the Beis HaMikdash, but there are a lot of things that we do care a lot about. Meaning, physical pleasures, recognition, being loved, wisdom, connection to God, faith, a desire to do the right thing. Now, when we think about the things that we do care about, if we look a little, we'll see that all those things were so much more in the Beis HaMikdash. Did you ever feel stupid? You don't have to raise your hands. I see some people raising their hands. But I felt stupid. You're making all the wrong moves. The Gemara moves for you like molasses. You have no future in this or any other wisdom. Your head needs a refuah shleima. You ever feel your head needed a refuah shleima? A quick recovery? So listen to this. The Ramah brings in Torah Sola that the great philosopher Apulton, which I think was Pluto, we'll call him Pluto. Pluto came with the hordes to destroy the Beis HaMikdash together with the Nebuchadnezzar. And he saw Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah, the prophet of the Chorban, crying over the Beis HaMikdash. And he turned one great mind to another great mind, turned and asked, Yirmiyahu, you're a wise person. Why mourn over sticks and stones? Why mourn over sticks and stones? One question he asked. Second question he asked is, it's not the derech ha-chochmah. It's not the way of wisdom to mourn for the past. Think about it. Avarayim. The past is gone. Why mourn for the past? Makes a lot of sense. Those are just two questions. So Yirmiyahu turned to Pluto and he said, tell me. You're a great philosopher. For sure, over your years of study and research, philosophy means lover of wisdom. You're a lover of wisdom. You've certainly accrued many questions. Tell me your questions. Tell me your best, hit me with your best shot. So he asked question after question after question after question. And Yirmiyahu then railed off one after the other, all the answers. The answers to Apulton's, to Pluto's greatest questions, Yirmiyahu answered like that. And Pluto was astounded at the chachma, at the wisdom of Yirmiyahu. And Yirmiyahu said, all that wisdom I got from those eights and babbana. I got from those sticks and stones. That's why I'm crying for them. And your second question about not crying for the past, I can't explain to you, you won't understand it. That's probably the first time someone said to Pluto he couldn't understand something. What wisdom? We know this halacha that the Kohanim go barefoot in Beis HaMikdash. They walk barefoot, it's cold. Why do they go barefoot? So I said, no, I said, wrote down an unbelievable Yaris Kvash of Jonas Nebuchadnezzar. You know why they walk barefoot? Because the ground breathed wisdom. Just walking on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash made you wise. And the Kohanim wanted to be as connected as possible to that wisdom, so they didn't want a hefsek, they didn't want a chatzitza, they didn't want something to separate between them and the floor of the Beis HaMikdash. Blows the mind. The very floor. The tiles of the Beis HaMikdash had wisdom in them. And finally, we say at the end of Shemot Esrei 3-4 times a day, 5 times a day in Yom Kippur, Shibana Beis HaMikdash V'Seichon Kein B'Sar HaSecha. The Beis HaMikdash be built and give our chelik in the Torah. And the Gros says, Rabbeinu the Gaon says that it's not a happening phrase. These two things fit exactly together. Shibana Beis HaMikdash 1, V'Seichon Kein B'Sar HaSecha. Our chelik, our portion, our way in Torah, will all find so much greater and such a more meaningful, clear way when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. Shibana Beis HaMikdash, and then the same Kalkin of Sarasah. Then we'll be able to find our true chelik in Torah. So think about it. Think about what the Beis HaMikdash was. We all want wisdom here. We all want wisdom. This is a place where wisdom came from the floor. And the Gemara went like that, and your head in the Nidor of Ushlema. Okay, it's the end of his mind. Who feels a little bit burned out? Who wakes up sometimes? Then you raise your hands, right? No one has raised their hand the first time. Right? You feel a little burned out. Sometimes you wake up in the morning, the last thing in the world you want to do is to daven, Dvar Ruchanim. You don't feel excited, right? It's one of the constant problems. So listen to this. What was the answer? Go to the Beis HaMikdash and smell the Ketores. Smell the incense of the Beis HaMikdash. Because I'll say, I day ran the Ketores, you just smelled that delicious smell and you wanted to do mitzvahs. You wanted to run in daven. The other side runs away. So you had all the cheshek you wanted in the Beis HaMikdash. This room is filled with yikarim, chashuv, special people who worked a tremendous amount on faith, on emunah in their lives. But together with all the emunah that we've accrued, that we built, we have sveikas, we have doubts, we have moments of uncertainty. Side of Barala, why do bad things happen to good people? Why is Israel in this matzav? Why did the Holocaust happen? And other things. Why does this person suffer? This one doesn't suffer. Something we never really understand. Why this one yes, this one no. As there was saying to say, we have a lot of doubts. So imagine for a second you walk into the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur, and it's, you are smushed, right? Imagine the Hasidish tish with thousands and thousands of Hasidim, more than that. All of them tzvufim. They stood with a tremendous amount of constricted space. It was smushed in the Beis HaMikdash, in Yom Tov. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands, millions of people sometimes in a small space. Tzvufim, and Rashi says in Yuma, what does tzvufim mean? What's lashon tzvufim? Not stop being squished, it's tzaf, floating. Yeah? You know, like when the whole crowd's going, you just pick up, I can't do it here, but you pick up your feet and just go with the crowd. That's what tzvufim means. You floated in the Beis HaMikdash because it was so tzvufim. And that's the matzav. And then you hear the Shem Hashem Ekro, and you bow down to your mishtachavah. How in the world are you going to bow down? And because some shita say, you spread your hands and your legs. How? It suddenly worked. It just opened up. The ground opened up and everything got bigger, and there was plenty of room, and some shita say there was dalet amos. Open tzvufim, you're squished, you bow down, mishtachavah revochim, there's plenty of room. And then you stand up, and you look and see the kohen coming down with the Trumas Hadeshin, the ashes from the night before, and he throws it into the ground, and it disappears. And then they do Dishun Menorah, they clear out the menorah, and they take the ashes from the menorah, put it down into the ground, and it disappears. And then there's a Kli Cheres, which has no surnin, they throw it on the ground, and it disappears. And then they take the innards of a bird, the Chatasov, and the Olasov, they throw it on the ground, and it disappears. Unbelievable. And then you say, you know what? I'm going to stay in the Beis HaMikdash. Maybe I'm a Kohen. Maybe you're on the Avodah. Or I want to stay around till Shabbos. And you wait until they separate, until they give out the Lechem HaPanim, which was done on Shabbos. The showbreads. Right? I don't know what they're serving in Yeshiva these days, but I don't think they serve seven-day-old bread. And if they do serve seven-day-old bread, it wasn't seven-day-old bread, which has been out open. Right? You have to be a nuclear physicist to know that that is stale bread. Huh? And it was... Kisiluko, what's the lashon? Kisiluko, kach, See, because Kisidur Katsiluko, the bread that the Kohanim got after 7 days on Shabbos was as fresh as when it came out of the oven. So you are surrounded by Nisim, surrounded by miracles all the time. And now you and your friends go back after Yom Tov, back to your border town, Otef Aza, maybe Kiryat Shmona, maybe in the Jordan Valley, and you go back. And you see the fulfillment of the verse in Shmos. And no person will want your land. All the men of the town came to the Beis HaMikdash, women and children alone. That town should have been pillaged, women should have been raped. There should be a remnant of that town with all the angry neighbors that the Jewish people have always had. It didn't start today. And not a single person, not a stone is overturned in the whole town. So you were living with Nisim all the time. It was unavoidable. The Beis HaMikdash was a place of great Nisim. That is shared today, 10 Nisim. Miracles. So when you saw those miracles, there were no doubts. Now everything was clear. A person can live with clarity and come again to the Beis HaMikdash to get more clarity. And come again to the Beis HaMikdash to get more clarity. You know, we all suffer at times from a lack of recognition. Sometimes we feel invisible. No one loves us. No one sees us for who we are. Imagine for a second on Yom Tov, you go to the Beis HaMikdash and you fulfill the halacha of bringing Olas Riyah, bring the korban, the sacrifice he chose to bring, which says, Shalosh Pamim B'Shanayir calls a korcha. All of your males will see. And Chazal say, Liros V'Leiros, to see and to be seen. On Yom Tov, every Jew felt that he was seen by the Ribono Shel Olam. He was seen by the Eibishter. Could you imagine the closest? Can you imagine what it felt like to be seen by Hashem? Liros V'Leiros. Do you think you suffered then from low self-esteem? You suffered from a lack of confidence? I'm a nobody in this world. No one cares about me. Well, I mean, Ribono Shel Olam, Ribono Kol Olam, comes and he looks at you and you feel him and you feel close to him. How much chizik that gave a person? Maybe what we're all looking for more than anything is happiness. And what does it say about Yerushalayim? Yefei Nof, the beautiful view, Misos Kol Aretz, the joy of the land. What was the joy of the land? Chazal tell us that a person does a sin and he feels bad and feels guilty. And what do I do with my guilt? I let it eat me up inside and take it out of my wife and children. No, I go to Yerushalayim and I bring a korban and I bring a sacrifice and Hashem is mokham. And I use Yotze Nishama Simcha. And I left with joy. The Sos Kol Aretz, the joy of the whole world. That was on a personal level. On a cloud level, the Tanchuma tells us that the Averis of the night, the sins of the night, will get taken care of by the Tum Shel Shachar, by the morning sacrifice. And the Averis which built up during the day will get taken care of by the Tum Shel Ben Arbayim. And the Big Dikahuna themselves, the clothes of the Kohen we know, brought Kapara. Can you imagine the Kohen walked around with clothes, the Kohen Gadol walked around with his clothes, and that brought atonement. The very clothes that the Kohanim brought, war, brought atonement. So this is the Sos Kol Aretz. Who can be unhappy in Yerushalayim? Who's not happy after Yom Kippur? Who's not happy after Ne'ilah? That was every day. Yerushalayim was a 365-day a year Yom Kippur. And we know that one of the central things we're all lacking is meaning. Meaning. A person wants to know I'm doing something with my life. I'm making a difference. I'm important. I know what I'm doing. After everything we're speaking about, do you think the person ever felt in Yerushalayim? He didn't know what he was living for. He didn't know I need Kiryas Elokim L'Tov, what life was about. A person had meaning in Yerushalayim, so there was meaning there. And finally, what do we feel we lack most today more than anything else? Peace. And an end to Jewish suffering. I just want to read you a quick quote from the Maharal, translated, the Maharal Netzach Yisroel, about how much we suffered. The Maharal was writing in the 1600s. What would he say today? If all the seas were ink, and all the reeds in the seas pen, and all the heavens parchment, and all men scribes. You get it? We still couldn't write about all the unnatural difficulties, trials, and travails which have happened to the Jewish people since the time of the Horeb, since the time of the destruction of the temple. All these tzaras, so much pain today. How many Jewish mothers are crying and nervous? All these tzaras, from when? Because we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbeinu Yonah says in Brachos, when Hashem was there, it was put his Shekhinah, put his holy presence, and that's because Yisroel sat securely in their land. When there's a Beis HaMikdash, and it's Tiferes, we were secure here. And they were afraid an Arab would have picked up a stone against a Jew when the Beis HaMikdash was around. The Baal Turim says, in the Schus, in the merit of the Korbanos, the merit of the sacrifices, we would win in war. We mentioned the Big Day Kahuna before. Another Baal Turim says, in the merit of the Big Day Kahuna, what were the clothes of the Kohen? You know what they were? They were armor. They were tanks. They were planes. They were F-16s. The very big Tikkun themselves helped us win in war. These are all spiritual things. So we see, my friends, it's not about history. It's not about mourning the Avar. It's about what we all want. All the things we're interested in, wisdom, joy, meaning, belief, good desires, everything we wanted was so much more available when we had a Beis HaMikdash. So here's my etza. To mourn the Beis HaMikdash, what we have to do is we have to think a little bit about what we really want. We have to come into contact with the things we all want from the things listed. Wisdom, meaning, recognition, even physical pleasures were greater than times in the Beis HaMikdash. You don't think about that so much, right? Wisdom, everything you wanted was there. Now, if you can come in contact with that in yourself and think a little bit, a few minutes of this bonus, that all that was so much more available when there's a Beis HaMikdash, so of course there's something to mourn. We're lacking not strange, otherworldly things. We're lacking what we want. We're lacking in wisdom. We're lacking faith. We're lacking wisdom. We're lacking what we want, the meaning that we're all searching so far in our life. I want to finish with one thought. We know one of the greatest mitzvahs is a mace mitzvah. A mace mitzvah. What's a mace mitzvah? Someone who dies has no one to take care of him. Kulam krov. The whole Jewish people has to take care to bring that person to kfura. The whole Jewish people has to make sure that person gets buried. That's a mace mitzvah. So the Sfarim tell us there are certain mitzvos, which are also mace mitzvah. The mitzvah itself, the commandment itself, is a mace mitzvah. And no one's into it, right? Some mitzvahs are very popular, Baruch Hashem, and some mitzvahs aren't popular. Even the Sefer Torah and the Heichal, even the Sefer Torah needs mazel. So for some reason, some mitzvahs go up and some mitzvahs don't. That's how it is. But the Sfarim say when someone takes that mitzvah, which is a mace mitzvah, the schar, the reward, is unbelievable. Now I think, and we can humbly say that mourning for the Beis HaMikdash today is a mace mitzvah. For all the reasons, we're not being mekatre chalila, but it's a mitzvah which is time is not here. People don't do it. People enter. I remember Chaim Wuri said to me, it feels like he lives 1,000 years ago, how the 3 weeks used to be, how the tzibur used to look during the 3 weeks and the 9 days, and how they look today. Who feels anything? This is a mace mitzvah. So besides the tremendous schar, besides the tremendous reward, which our rabbis promised that anybody who's misabel in Yerushalayim, someone who mourns for Jerusalem, will see its rebuilding. The reward today for someone who tries a little bit, every little thing, every kavanah Yerushalayim, every little tear, whatever you can do during kinos, is so tremendous. So let's not miss this unique opportunity to be magbiyah, to bring a mace mitzvah to its proper place. I wish you all be zocha to mourn properly and to be present in the full redemption Yerushalayim and the whole Jewish people.